former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, Economic Policy in the Reagan Administration, and former editor, columnist for the Wall Street Journal Business Week, Scripps Howard News Service. Just a pleasure to welcome back to our show today, Paul Craig Roberts. You are not terribly pleased, I think, with the state of the economic situation here domestically. Neither are most of our listeners.
Well, Chris, for a number of years now, the economic information we get from the government and from the financial media is fake news. For example, we're told we have an unemployment rate of 4.7%, which essentially is full employment. And yet we see no inflationary pressures that always in the past have accompanied full employment. We don't see any growth in real consumer demand or real retail sales that normally accompany full employment. And I could go on giving these examples. Where did this full employment number come from? It comes from the fact that the government simply doesn't count the unemployed any longer. If you have not looked for a job in the last 4 weeks, you're not counted. So we have this huge number of discouraged workers who've looked for a job for months, maybe for years. They can't find a job. They cease looking, and therefore they are no longer considered part of the workforce. So the way they got this low number is simply by not counting the unemployed workers. John Williams of ShadowStats.com, an expert on the official figures, continues to count unemployment the way it used to be counted when I was in the Treasury. He says the unemployment rate currently in the United States is 23%, and yet the government says it's 4.7. Now, I believe John Williams. I don't believe the government. We're also told every month that there are all these jobs created, 150,000, 200,000, and so on. That's all we ever hear. What we don't hear is that even the jobs that are claimed to be created are, for the most part, part-time, poorly paid jobs that do not support an independent existence. We also are not told that these job figures, for the most part, consist of an add-on factor that the Bureau of Labor Statistics uses to estimate the difference between unreported job losses from business failures and unreported new jobs from recent business startups. And the way they go about estimating this, John Williams says, adds 100,000, maybe as much as 200,000 jobs to the monthly figures. So on occasions, the monthly figure consists entirely of this add-on factor. So wherever you look at the job information, you can't have any confidence in it. Then we move to inflation. Anyone who buys anything knows we have a high rate of inflation in everything, food, clothing, hardware, items, wherever you go. The government says that we have essentially a zero inflation rate. How do they get that zero rate? Well, they get it because they have altered the way they measure inflation. They've done two things. One, the basket of goods, the weighted basket of goods that they use to compute the inflation index. If an item in that basket goes up in price, they throw it out of the basket and substitute a lower priced item. So the measure of inflation is no longer consistent with a constant cost of living. It reflects a declining standard of living, because they are substituting less good products for better products that rise in price. Another thing they do, they say that price increases are not really price increases, they are quality improvements. And the price went up because the quality went up. But of course, for the consumer, it's still a price increase. And they overuse this. So between the so-called substitution effect of putting in a lower priced item for one that goes up in price and calling a price rise a quality improvement, they get zero inflation. To stop spending money on Social Security cost of living adjustments, there have been hardly any. And yet, everyone can see prices are going up. So Dave Kranz and I have proven consistently over and over is that the gold price is manipulated by the sale of uncovered shorts in the futures market. It's a way of printing paper gold. Just like the Fed prints paper dollars, the bullion banks, that is the Federal Reserve's agents in the gold and silver futures market, they can print futures contracts that are not covered and dump them in huge amounts in the market and drive down the future price of gold. Because the price of gold is determined in the futures market, where you can create all the paper gold you want. It's not determined in the bullion market, where people actually take possession of real gold and silver. And then we come to the other financial assets. Well, the Federal Reserve has made no mystery of the fact that it controls the price of bonds, because it's prepared to buy as many bonds as it needs to keep the interest rate where it wants it. But what the Federal Reserve doesn't tell us is that they now have a complete trading desk. They can trade anything. They can dominate trade in any market, stocks, commodities, currencies, and no one explains why they have this power or what they are doing with it. For example, do they keep the stock market up by buying every time a correction begins? S&P futures, how do they go about keeping the dollar up? Is it because they can encourage the European Central Bank and the Japanese Central Bank to print massive amounts of euros and yen to offset the increase in U.S. dollars so the exchange rate doesn't vary? What about commodities? What are they doing there? There's no investigation. There's no reporting. The Congress doesn't even ask. And yet, it is a fact that the Fed has a trading desk and can trade anything. And as the Fed has no financial limits whatsoever, it can create all the money it wants, endless amounts. It has nothing to worry about. Losses don't mean anything. They just push a button and up jumps another $1 trillion. In that type of a situation that I have described, this is just a brief description, could go on for days, what is the meaning of what we're told about the economy? It's fake news. No one knows what the real situation is on the basis of the information provided by the government and the financial press.
Obviously, you've pointed out that we're looking at 20 to 23% unemployment, given the shadow stats' current number. That's way off of the official Labor Department numbers, and there is a discrepancy there. Can you give us an idea, though? When is the check due? As you say, they have carte blanche authority to print fiat money, but at some point, we reach that tipping point, don't we?
Wall Street, the hedge funds, they all like making money in the stock market. Why would they blow a whistle if the Fed is supporting stock prices? They're happy, just as people were happy that they're supporting bond prices. If the Fed is able to sustain the dollar's exchange value by encouraging quantitative easing in the European Central Bank and the Japanese Central Bank, both of which are engaged in quantitative easing, then any growth in the supply of dollars is matched by growth in yen, the growth in euros, and therefore the exchange rates don't turn against the dollar. So I don't know what tips it. It's not clear. I didn't think it could go on anywhere near as long as it has gone on. But it goes on, and not only does it go on, there's essentially no discussion of it. You can't find any discussion in the financial media. You can't find any interest on the part of Congress. How is it we have a booming stock market when there's no growth in real retail sales? How is it we have a booming stock market when the real median family income has been declining? Where these profits come from?
I'm sure you'd agree that much of this phantom growth we've seen in U.S. equities is a direct result of these artificially low rates that you've written extensively about. Of course, that enables our corporate officers to issue very low interest debt, parlay those funds into purchasing their own shares.
That's just what happens, yeah. And not only do the corporations borrow to buy back their own stock, thus driving up the performance bonuses of the executives, and of course, based on capital gains for the shareholders, but all the money the Fed poured into the banks to support their balance sheets, you know, all of their bad derivatives, that money the banks used to buy stocks and collect dividends. It works for the big players. And as long as it works for the big players, one has to expect it will continue to work.
Do you think our policymakers are focusing on the 150 or so million Americans who have exposure to U.S. equities primarily through corporate drip programs where a portion of their salary goes into mutual funds or related corporate shares, a self-fulfilling momentum that might keep this going? But again, the music stops at some point, we presume.
Well, you know, numerous pension funds are in trouble. Private pension funds. State and municipal pension funds. We're told that most pension funds, corporate pension funds, whatever they are underfunded. So what is the explanation for that? If the stock market's doing so good, how come everything's underfunded? Is the stock market performance limited to a handful of stocks that the Fed can focus on? What are the major stocks? They're all high-priced, Apple, Google, that sort of thing, isn't it? There is an inconsistency between so many pension funds being underfunded and in trouble. In fact, the other day, one of the Teamsters funds in New York collapsed. So if the stock market's doing so good and the economy so well, why are the pensions in trouble? There's also concern about the financial condition of insurers, because they've had no interest income on the bond part of their portfolios for a long time. Of course, if they go down, the Fed can do the same thing for them that they did for the big banks. They can buy whatever the insurance companies have or don't have and supply the funds to them. So we just don't know. What has happened, normally when a central bank expands the money supply, it finds its way into the economy and drives up prices, or it drives down the exchange value of the currency. But our recent experience, the money has gone into the price of financial assets and driven up stock and bond prices. So, if that's where the money goes, then it doesn't have the same effect in producing the high rates of inflation or the hyperinflation that is traditionally associated with massive money creation. So one assumes that this sort of thing can continue. What people don't seem to understand, Chris, is that this type of behavior by the Federal Reserve is new. It's not the way the bank behaved in the past. Fed has learned essentially that there are no constraints on its action and that it can rig any and all markets. And that's the big difference. And so everyone who thinks in traditional ways expect all this to come to an end, like I did. But once you realize what's really going on, you wonder, well, how does it come to an end? Some sort of political crisis. Maybe they're going to remove Trump. Maybe the pressure Washington puts on Europe for conflict with Russia will cause Europe to abandon NATO. Maybe Marine Le Pen will win the French presidency and join Britain in pulling out of the EU. And these major kinds of things can upset the ability of Washington to rig everything. So there could be some major political development where we lose control. Maybe some sort of conflict with Russia and China in which we get kicked hard and lose. These are the type of things that are more likely.
I wonder, though, if perhaps some of this is a direct result of the U.S. dollar having been under pressure for, you know, so many years. It's a relative value compared to, obviously, the euro, as well as perhaps the yen and the yuan, where we see negative rates. I mean, 3.7% at the People's Bank of China. That can make our abysmal 1%-ish overnight lending rate very compelling.
The central banks acting under Fed leadership can rig the situation any way they want it. There's no one questioning them on this or asking about it or even mentioning it. Fake news determining everything. So there's a matrix, and people are in the matrix. And as long as the news is good, they're happy. And, you know, really, why did the stock market go up 1,000 points? Because Trump got elected. There's no explanation of that. There was no sudden increase in the growth of consumer incomes or retail sales or the profits of firms. And according to all the financial analysis, Trump was elected, the market was supposed to fall. That was the prediction. So it seems to me that we are facing a different type of world in which the market is neutralized, and the ability of market to value things is all set by the power of central banks.
Could you give us your expectations? Eventually, there must be a confluence of negative events. Are you envisioning a hyperinflation or a galloping inflation like we saw in the 1970s?
Oh, what I'm envisioning is a conflict with Russia and China that's being engineered by the CIA and the military security complex and the media. The kind of reckless provocations of Russia, from the extraordinary demonizations of Russia, of Russia's president, the constant lies about Russian behavior, as President Putin himself said, the Americans have destroyed our ability to trust them. This is the biggest change in my lifetime. During the entirety of the Cold War, both governments worked to reduce the tensions. And it was the legacy of that work that let Reagan and Gorbachev end the Cold War and removed nuclear Armageddon as a possibility. But what has happened with the Clinton, George W. Bush, and Obama regimes is to raise these tensions to a level many times higher than they ever were during the Cold War.
Is America being set up the way the globalists really brought the entire center of Europe? Are we being similarly set up?
The whole world is being set up by the desperation with which the American military security complex is protecting its annual $1 trillion budget. and by the ideology of the neoconservatives who have a goal of American hegemony over the entire world. That is setting up the life of the planet. That is the real threat. It's far beyond any economic problem. Trump, who was unique in saying that he would reduce the tensions with Russia and normalize the relations, immediately came under full-scale assault. John Brennan at the CIA, from Comey at the FBI, from the New York Times, a CIA asset, from the Washington Post, a CIA asset, from CNN, a CIA asset. And they're trying to drive him into the ground and force him off the agenda of normalizing relations with Russia, because they need the threat to justify the $1 trillion annually they get from the American taxpayers. This is essentially the overriding issue of our time. All the other issues are of no significance. This is what people have to understand. The nuclear weapons that we dropped gratuitously on the two Japanese cities are pop guns compared to the thermonuclear weapons of today. To risk a confrontation between nuclear powers, as the United States is bent on doing, is to put the existence of life on planet at total risk. There is nothing said about this. No one is aware.
Thank you, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts.
Okay, you're welcome, Chris.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity. Brazil Resources, based in the 8th largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves. Industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned, with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.